The latest tracking poll from the University of New Hampshire shows John Kerry holding a strong lead against other Democratic presidential candidates in tomorrow's New Hampshire primary. Howard Dean is in second place, with John Edwards, Wesley Clark, and Joe Lieberman bunched behind him. The money that is generated from a good finish in the Granite State will be hard to duplicate in the rapid succession of primaries that begins next week, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
This is a state with more Republicans than Democrats and more independent voters than either of the two parties. On Tuesday, 80% of registered Democrats are expected to go to the polls. It's an amazing turnout. But what makes it even more unusual is that independent voters in New Hampshire can vote in either the Republican or Democratic primary. The influx of independents has made the New Hampshire primary tough on politicians.
This New Hampshire primary in particular is the most fluid I've ever seen in my life.
Susan Estrich ran Michael Dukakis' winning primary campaign in 1988. She, like other Democrats, has watched the twists and turns of this primary season, in which former Vermont Governor Howard Dean had a sizable lead, only to now trail John Kerry by double digits. And no one is minimizing the importance of winning here. In the 40 years from 1952 to 1992, no one won the presidency without winning the New Hampshire primary. Since then, two candidates, Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, have lost close races here, but recovered to win the White House. But no one wants to buck that avalanche of odds. To win, Democrats have to get votes from two areas of the state, the old industrial manufacturing cities of Manchester and Nashua, and the capital of Concord, which attracts Canadian immigrants and 60s radicals. Statewide, Hispanics are the biggest minority, and they're less than 2% of the population. Whites are 96% of the population. The state's median household income is over $49,000, which is $7,000 more than the national median household income. Professor Mark Wrighton.
Recessions tend to start later. They tend to be shallower. We tend to come out of recessions faster. Our unemployment rates tend to be lower. So I think we're probably in the upper end in relation to the other states.
That affluence and streak of independence among voters in New Hampshire contributed to Senator John McCain's upset of George W. Bush in the 2000 Republican primary. Michael Dennehy engineered that victory as McCain's New Hampshire campaign manager.
George Bush only had the Republican establishment, so we built an organization of veterans and eventually of independents and some Republican activists. And it made for a very broad coalition that we were able to get out our message to different sectors of voters.
And that's what you get to do on Tuesday. Let's go out and make it happen.
At a John Kerry campaign event on Saturday morning at New Hampshire Technical College in Concord, his campaign chairwoman, Jean Shaheen, the former governor, said the unusual mix of voters in this state is a good test for any candidate.
I think the importance of New Hampshire, just as Iowa is important, is not because it's demographically representative or a big state with a lot of population. It's because of the process here. In order to win back the White House, we need a candidate who can appeal to independent voters who some Republicans can be comfortable voting for.
In the race for independent voters this year, the latest polls show Kerry has almost 40%, the lion's share. Other Democrats are clawing for the leftovers. In the fight for undecided voters, the candidates have to watch out for any slip-up that could send them skittering down an icy path. Witness what happened to Ed Muskie, who was nearly brought to tears here in his 1972 campaign. That led his rivals and some journalists to insinuate that he was too emotionally weak to be president. Today, with the stakes so high, candidates are pressed to avoid any mistake. Joe McQuaid is the president and publisher of the state's biggest newspaper, the Manchester Union Leader. His recent questioning of Wesley Clark on abortion left the candidate struggling to keep his balance.
So the conservative union leader says, what's your position on when life begins? And his position, he said, whenever the mother says it does. Which led me to say, you mean that the baby could be crowning, you know, could be coming out of the womb? Yep, so it's between a mother and a doctor, law shouldn't be involved. That was astounding. And then one of the reporters asked him about whether he would have a litmus test for judges. And he said, no, I wouldn't have a litmus test for judges. And his aides are rolling their eyes in the background. And no sooner had he left the building than he called back and said, there would never be any pro-life judges because I would know where they stood first.
In addition to avoiding gaffes, candidates know advertising is key to winning over late-deciding independent voters. Last week, Howard Dean shifted money from other states to pay for more ads here. Pat Devlin, a professor of communication studies at the University of Rhode Island, tracks political ads in the New Hampshire primaries.
The biggest thing is that it is the largest spending state on ads. Most people think it's a hands-on state, and it's called, you know, retail politics, where you have to go door to door. But the great irony is, of all of the primaries, even California and New York included, more money is spent on advertising than any other state.
Okay, if everybody could please take your seats, because we're going to be starting in 2 minutes. The 2 minute countdown has begun.
On Saturday night, 6 of the 7 remaining candidates, Al Sharpton did not appear, took turns speaking at a dinner in Nashua sponsored by the New Hampshire Democratic Party. Each man entered the hotel to the roar of supporters. In a hot, crowded ballroom, they asked locals for votes. In the hotel hallways, however, political insiders, including Susan Estrich, still had questions about Kerry.
As strong as Kerry is, there are still questions. Can he win in the South? Should the Democrats be nominating a Massachusetts liberal? What about Edwards? What about Clark? What about Dean? And I don't think anybody in the party is ready to declare things over after two contests. Still very fluid and very messy out there. And it was only 3 weeks ago that John Kerry was running, what, second or third? And Howard Dean was ready to win Iowa and New Hampshire and become the nominee.
Keep in mind, this race has always come down to expectations. And it doesn't end here. Normally, this is just the beginning of the process.
Joe Gramazon is a former head of the state's Democratic Party.
Who will have the resources, the momentum, the influence to go to the February 3rd events? None of these men are going to look in the mirror on Wednesday morning and think they should no longer be president. I mean, what they're going to do is they're going to look at the campaign checkbook, and they're going to be making hard political decisions.
Just after midnight Tuesday, the first vote in the New Hampshire primary will be made in the small town of Dixville Notch, about 15 miles from the Canadian border. Neil Tillotson became well known in the state for being the first New Hampshire resident to vote in every primary from 1964 to 2000. He died in 2001, and his son Tom has taken his place and will cast the first vote this year. Juan Williams, NPR News, Manchester, New Hampshire.